Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. Great to be with you. I'm Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz, alongside. Going to be in Green Bay on Thursday for the 2025 NFL Draft. Not the first draft to be held in Wisconsin. Actually, there was a draft in Wisconsin held in December of 1939 at a hotel downtown Milwaukee, which is, I believe, now a Hilton. So look at that. A little bit of history. Back in 1939, they held the draft. Before it was this. Before it was, hey, let's build a giant stage in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and get a quarter of a million people to drive on the three roads that get you to Lambeau Field. It's going to be quite an exercise, quite an undertaking in Green Bay. Green Bay's been trying to get this draft forever, and then the NFL's like, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, in a few years, yeah, sure. Oh, Green Bay used to want it. Let's go to somewhere else. Let's go to Vegas. Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, sure. Mark Murphy has been trying to make this happen, the team president, and it's happening. And then this summer he retires because he is 70 years old, and the Packers have a statue that you can be the team president until you are 70. There is an age limit on how old you can be before you are no longer able to be the president. It's interesting. So that'll be this summer. Now, Adam Schefter wrote a long column, which he does before the draft every year, about some of his draft notes, some of the things that he is hearing. And this will be one of those segments where I talk about Adam Schefter and don't make fun of him. Normally the TV appearances maybe could be ripe for some poking fun, but the article got a lot of good information, and I want to pass along what he is hearing, as I hate to admit this, but I'm a man of deep reflection. Adam Schefter is more plugged into the NFL than me. Despite my being an NFL owner, I am an NFL owner of the Green Bay Packers, but I'm just kind of focused on my team. You know, I don't really poke around everybody else's house or look in the windows at night. I just kind of focus on what I do. And so Adam Schefter a little more plugged in. So here's some of the things that we can think to look for come Thursday night. Obviously, the draft itself, like the top four and five, obviously that's the key. What's going to happen at the top? Cam Ward is going one. Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, they could go 2-3. I did put my $10 on Shedeur Sanders to go number three to the Giants. I don't totally feel good about it. It was plus 450. I actually had more money in my wallet than I thought. I had $20 in my wallet. So I have $20 invested on Shedeur Sanders going number three to the Giants. So I know it's the whole ramifications of a fan base and a franchise is dependent on this pick. But just for me to get $85, I would appreciate if the Giants did draft Shedeur. Now, the interesting thing about that is they just had another workout with him. There's been reports as if, like, Joe Shane has basically lived in Boulder when trying to scout Shedeur Sanders. One of the scouts that is quoted anonymously, or at least an executive anonymously, in Adam Schefter's article at ESPN.com says if the Giants like Shedeur, they're taking him at three. Which doesn't tell you much. It tells you that they might not trade back and then and try to get him. If they like Shedeur and they're doing their due diligence, if they like Shedeur, they are going to take him at three. If not, he will go somewhere else. What you're going to see is either what I have predicted happens is that four quarterbacks go in round one, because I'm thinking Cam Ward one, Shedeur high, Steelers get in on it. and then another team trades up to the first round to get like a Tyler Shuck out of Louisville or even a Jalen Milroe out of Alabama. The other option would be mass chaos in round number two. So if it goes where the Browns don't get a guy right away or the Giants don't get a guy right away, the Steelers, they have a first-round pick and then not again until the third, so they would either have to get involved in the first round with a quarterback or trade down. But you could see a lot of quarterbacks go to start round number two. Now, the way that round two shakes out, I don't know how this happened. I guess this is how it goes. I didn't. Why do the Giants have the second pick in round two? Do you know? And then the first pick in round three. Is that common?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. You'd figure it would just kind of be the same order, but I'm sure like trades and everything that we haven't looked at before affected the order in the later rounds.
So the top of round one is Titans, Browns, Giants, Patriots, Jaguars, Raiders. And then the top of round two is Browns, Giants, Titans, Jaguars, Raiders, Patriots. And then round three is Giants, Titans, Browns, Raiders, Patriots, Jaguars. Why do the Titans not have the first pick in the second round? That I guess is what they do. Because of tiebreakers. Oh.
Of course. Okay. Of course. How could I possibly miss that?
So there's tiebreakers because they were all 3-14. Yeah? Yeah. They were all 3-14. So the Titans didn't win the number one pick in every round with the tiebreakers. They just got it in the first round and then they divvy it out. Okay. Hey, look, I didn't know. Carlos lied to you and said trades probably. I actually took the time to find it out. Live on air.
Yeah, I don't have the patience to do that. I'm trying to, you know, produce a broadcast here.
And I'm trying to waste everybody's time. So the second round could get crazy because you have the Browns at 33. First pick of the second round, they could be in on a quarterback. The Giants, if they don't take Shadur, they could be in a quarterback at 34. You still got the Raiders there. You could have another team, the Saints at 40, Raiders at 37. You could have somebody that maybe wants to trade in. And that's why and where I think there is more excitement. And the draft does play out differently because of how it's structured. We just get one round. We're going to Green Bay to give you one round. And then the next night, we're only giving you two rounds. And then the next day, you get four more rounds. And it's that Thursday night into Friday, which gets exciting. And even Saturday, if you have the first pick in round four. But there's a lot more time for trades to happen. There's a lot more moving pieces. If you just say ready, set, go, like it used to be on a Saturday morning, then maybe you get trades that don't happen. But now teams, with it being a three-day event, if you're the Browns, that pick becomes worth more because you have more time to do something with it, perhaps. So the quarterback, obviously, that's going to be an interesting nugget here. Where you see these guys fall, what the top of the board looks like is going to be an interesting nugget. And that takes us to the Jacksonville Jaguars at pick number five with a lot of crazy stuff happening there today. As we look at the draft, a reminder, this draft preview is sponsored by Ego, tools that deliver or exceed the power and performance of gas without the noise, fuss, and fumes. For any outdoor challenge, count on Ego tools to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. Ego, power beyond belief. So Jacksonville sits at five. Well, what's going to happen at five? Because there's been a lot of thinking that they're going to take Mason Graham. You look at any mock draft prior to like yesterday, defensive tackle, Mason Graham, number 5 overall. They got a new GM there, James Gladstone. They got a new coach, Liam Cohen. He's got 10 picks to work with, including 4 in the top 90. One league executive saying Jacksonville is a wild card. Liam Cohen has often had a soft spot for wide receivers in the draft. Ted McMillan, this guy, he was mocked for a while to go to New England at 4. Now you can find him anywhere from the top 10 to, you know, the late stages of round number 1. There's a Mike Evans-like quality to him, who Liam Cohen coached last year in Tampa Bay. That could be in play. Jacksonville, who's their running back? Travis Etienne. Well, they've been kind of disappointed in him. Last year, he was losing minutes. Who else was there? Tank Bigsby. And yes, I said minutes instead of snaps. I got NBA on the brain. You'll pardon that, I'm sure. But Tank Bigsby was becoming a guy that's like, oh, he's getting a bunch more carries here. What's going on with Travis Etienne? So could Ashton Jeanty be the pick at 5? Big time wild card situation with Jacksonville at number 5. Because just like all these mocks had Mason Graham going to Jacksonville at 5, a lot of the mocks have the Raiders taking Ashton Jeanty at 6. And so what happens here? What if the Raiders have fallen in love with Jeanty? And now they think that he could go 5. Well, they're going to trade with 5 not if Jacksonville, you can't trade with the team that wants to take the guy that you want. Well, where else are you going to trade? I don't see Tennessee trading out of Cam Ward. That's locked in. The Browns and Giants, I don't see them trading. I mean, it would have to take an incredible haul to leave this draft without Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, or if the Giants want to go Shadur. Because what a lot of people are telling you and what the consensus is that the difference between who you're getting at, let's say, pick 6 and who you're getting at pick 36 in that 30 range, yeah, it's kind of tangible. It's kind of dealer's choice here. So could the Raiders, being so locked in on Jeanty, look at Jacksonville and say, oh, geez, well, if they want him, or we don't want it, we don't know what they want, we don't want to lose out on the guy we've fallen in love with, could they try to trade up with the Patriots and involve Tom Brady's old team at pick number 4? Or do the Patriots just take him? They've got Ramondre Stevenson, but he was kind of disappointing too last year. That's the thing with these running backs, too. Just because they got a guy doesn't mean they got a guy. I mean, we're going a lot of by committee with a lot of different backfields. I don't know how many teams are like, no, we won't draft a running back because we have this guy. Even the top running backs. You know, I don't know that they would do it in the first round, but I'm sure the Eagles could walk away with a running back out of this draft. Maybe the Ravens walk away with a running back out of this draft. There are some good running backs in this draft. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Rob is in Chicago. What do you got this hour, Rob?
Bart, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
As a fellow owner of the Packers, I want to talk to you about that pick at number 23.
Yeah, what are we doing? Because people keep asking me, and I've spent, like, no time researching it.
I haven't either, because I know we're probably not going to do what I want to do or what you probably want to do. It's been 23 years since we have drafted a wide receiver in the first round.
Javon Walker,
yep. And that was Brett Favre. He was the quarterback then. And
yes.
every single year, I have been screaming from the hilltops to trade for a number one wide receiver, whether it was A.J. Brown or D.J. Moore or this year, D.K. Metcalf. I was screaming, get him.
Yeah, no. I kind of thought we were getting him. I thought we might have been in on D.K. That was a bummer.
I wanted him so bad. And I've seen, like, I think you just said McMillan. You see him go to number four or drop all the way down to the bottom of the first round. If we can get McMillan, I would die a happy man.
Well, I don't know about that. Like, I mean, you got to see him play first.
I don't need to see him play. If he is a wide receiver for Green Bay.
What if it was another guy? What if it was Golden out of Texas?
Nope. Ibuka, that's the other one I want, because I don't think McMillan's going to be there for us. I think Ibuka.
Luther Burden, Missouri?
No.
Okay.
Ibuka or McMillan would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You are my radio spirit animal with what you've talked about, the Packers, how you described it months ago. It's not like a losing cloud that follows us, but it's like we've had two of the greatest nine quarterbacks in the history of football, and now we have Jordan Love. I'm 37 years old. I only know three quarterbacks in my entire lifetime, and I live in Chicago.
I'm at least at 40. I did get a little of the magic, man. You missed out on the magic, man.
I missed Magikowski or whatever that dude's name was. Yeah, I missed him.
Yeah, Magikowski.
Whatever his name is. I missed him. I'm not sad about it, but
it was fun.
We have had quarterbacks galore, and we can draft every other position like offensive line, fourth round, fifth round, it's always there. But we can't get our quarterback that number one. And we lucked into Devontae. We lucked into him.
And yeah, now the Packers have taken a lot of wide receivers in the second round, whether it's Devontae, Jordy Nelson, another one, Randall Cobb.
Devontae wasn't second round.
When was he drafted?
I want to say third or fourth.
He was drafted second round of 2014.
You got me there. I mean, gotcha. But still, not a first-round draft pick. You're the better owner than I am. But
I got three years on you. You'll get there.
Yeah, I'll get there. But it hurts. It's worse than being a Bears fan, because we should do better, and we don't, because of Mike McCarthy or management. Or whatever. We wasted Rodgers' prime, and I don't even want to talk about him because he's gone.
Yeah.
Our team is built now to where we just need one or two players to get to that next level.
Well, a wide receiver would be a good start, Rob. Thanks for the call in Chicago, Packers owner. I'll just reiterate my overall Packer point about Favre and Rodgers. I believe that if you had 30 years of Favre and Rodgers, any franchise at minimum is getting two Super Bowls. Maybe two come with Favre, maybe two come with Rodgers. I don't know. But if you give every team 30 years to have those two quarterbacks, where you don't have to worry about quarterback, except for you draft a guy and then your other guy's mad. But you don't have to worry about quarterback in the draft, in free agency. You don't have to overpay. You don't have to overdo anything. Every franchise. Maybe there's one that, would the Browns do it? Yeah, I think they would. Would the Jets do it? I think they would. Every franchise. 30 years. The prime years. Favre, Rodgers, you're winning at least two Super Bowls. So, yes, the Packers have two Super Bowls, which is an accomplishment. The Packers, the correct sentence is, with Favre and Rodgers, the Packers only have two Super Bowls. That's the correct way to look at it. More draft intel, more of what to possibly expect, more from you. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. NFL draft coming up on Thursday. We've been talking about, very excited about, where some of these quarterbacks are going to land. Of course, that is the prize piece. We haven't seen any trades yet, which every time there's been a draft, one of these teams have at least traded out. Not every team has made a pick in the first round, but we are at that point right now where it may happen. Still would expect some trades on draft night. One of the reasons for that is that the quarterback class, there's not a lot of can't-miss guys that teams would sacrifice some capital to go up and get. And so that's usually a driver for trades. Now, Shedeur Sanders is a name we've talked about a lot, and I would expect the night of the draft and the days after, where he ends up going will be a big talking point. I am holding out hope that he goes to the Giants so I can make $90 on a $20 bet. That's really all I care about, you know. That's really all I care about. That's $70 profit. That's what I go to bed thinking about. But I've also said I think four quarterbacks could go in the first round. So a little bit of a hey, that Bart knows what he's talking about at stake here a little bit. But if Shedeur doesn't go three, where does he go? Well, a lot of people are thinking the Saints now. They drafted number 9, and Derek Carr may not play here this season. Also, if he was going to play this season, he's not that good. So what's the big deal? The belief around the league is New Orleans may not be in on Shedeur. They may be, one executive quoted as saying, hot and heavy on Jackson Dart. So if you're there at 9 and you take Jackson Dart, here's what's interesting about that. A lot of mock drafts don't have Jackson Dart going that high. And you're saying, well, who cares? Take the guy you want. That's what you said. I know. Teams do look at mock drafts. They use it as a tool. They think, hey, we really like this guy. Let's see where he's being mock drafted. Ugh, third round. What the hell are we thinking? And Jackson Dart is a guy that's being mocked later in the first round. Second round. Now, who is writing these articles? What do they know? But they're all looking at the same things. If the Saints like Jackson Dart at 9, and they think that's too high to take Jackson Dart, well, then what do? You either take him at 9 and live with it, or you try to trade back so you can take him where he's quote-unquote supposed to go, and then add some capital in the form of another draft pick, which in turn give you a different player. If I was the Saints and I like Jackson Dart that much, I would take him. If I see, hey, this guy could be our future piece, then take him. You can't. There's 31 other teams drafting. You can't control what they're going to do. Oh, well, Jackson Dart at 9's are ripoff, but Jackson Dart at 19, that's where he should go. Then take him at 9. Nobody's going to remember if he's good. Oh, yeah, they took him at 9. That was too high at the time. I mean, we didn't know that Michael Penix Jr. would go so high. We didn't know that Bo Nix would go so high. And we're not like, oh, can you believe they took a leap of faith on Bo Nix? Well, no, it's like they're lucky they got Bo Nix, the Broncos. So that, I think, is what you need to do. The other part of the Shedeur thing, where maybe Pittsburgh makes more sense, is Pittsburgh, remember, does not have a second-round pick, which they traded for DK Metcalf, and they got a wide receiver. They don't have anyone to throw him to football, with all due respect to Mason Rudolph. But with Pittsburgh not having a second-round pick, that means they're out of the second-round bonanza of quarterbacks that are probably going to go. As we've been talking about Shedeur and Jackson Dart and Cam Ward. But on day two, we're going to be talking about Jalen Milroe and Quinn Ewers and Tyler Shuck and other guys like that. So if you didn't get a guy on day one, you're going to want to take a guy on day two. But if you don't have a pick on at least the second round, well, then maybe you're more prone to take a guy in round one. The Shedeur piece And this is the interesting part of it from the Deion Sanders perspective. Because I think there's a lot of people that are looking at Shadur and saying, well, we don't want to take him because his dad is outspoken. Because his dad's Deion Sanders. He's only played with his dad. You know, whatever these reasons. I think the biggest reason that would turn me off if I'm a GM or a coach is as soon as things go awry, they're not going to say Shadur was a bust. They're going to say, maybe he needs a different coach. Yeah, Brian Daboll's not getting enough out of Shadur. You know who did get a lot out of Shadur? His dad, Deion. Now, Deion's got an extension that he just signed at Colorado, but the buyout is not terrible. $12 million if he leaves before New Year's Eve. Down to 10, down to 6, down to 4. A couple of years, you could front that. Pay the buyout. Go to the pros. So if you're Mike Tomlin, yeah, some fans in Pittsburgh are fed up with you, but you feel pretty secure about your standing as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Almost Teflon-like. I haven't won a playoff game in 10 years. Nah, I'm still here. So I don't think that that would be as much of a concern to him as it might be to, you know, Brian Daboll. Now, Kellen Moore just got there in New Orleans, so I don't know that the pitchforks come out early, but we've seen coaches get fired after a year, and we will see that again. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Mike is in Myrtle Beach. Mike.
Hey, what's up, man? I know the Commanders, man, in the first round, you know, we definitely have, like, maybe offensive line holes and everything, but I think we should definitely, you know, draft Cam Scadabo because I don't know if B-Rob is really going to be who we really want him to be and everything. And Eckler, you know, man, he's getting to the other side. You know, he's 30 years old, man, you know. Yep. And I just think we need to add another running back in there, man. We need to get this offense turned up even more, you know, because our defense is definitely going to give up points for sure. You know, our secondary is still young and pieces are weak, you know. We're going to give up points, so we need to be able to, just like last year, we need to be able to score points just as much in Mavs teams, especially in late moments, you know, like fourth quarter moments, you know, where Jaden Daniels like, did amazing last year. But I just think, you know, we need to definitely add another like high power, you know, like running back by committee, like they like to say, you know. I think he'll be a perfect piece in there, turn up the offense a little bit more, you know, maybe bring some of that like RG3 and Alfred Morris thing back in, you know, add another running back in there, a little threat, you know, Jaden Daniels and him, you know. I think it would be a perfect fit, man, and it would definitely help us out a lot, man, give us a chance to be able to run the ball better, everything.
I don't know,
if he does exceed, man, and he does great and we really like him after we draft him, we can always trade B-Rob or Eckler or somebody for another piece we need on defense or some other picks or anything, you know, like those are still players that we could get some value back for if we really like Cam, you know, like why not draft him? I think he's the second best running back in the whole thing besides Ashton Jeffrey. I think he's definitely a better running back than Omarion or whatever out of North Carolina and the guys out of Ohio State.
That's going to be, Mike, I got to let you go. We got an update, but thanks for the call. That's going to be up to the teams and what they think. But there are a lot of good running backs in this draft. So the Commanders pick at number 29. Scouts.inc or Scouts Inc. They've got 11 running backs ranked in the top 100. That's the most they've had ranked in the top 100 of their draft players since 2008. Darren McFadden, Matt Forte, Chris Johnson, Jonathan Stewart, Jamal Charles here. This year, you've got Ashton Jeanty, who we've talked about a little bit. Cam Scadabo, you're talking about. You've also got Omarion Hampton out of North Carolina, Caleb Johnson out of Iowa, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, those two guys out of Ohio State. So you got a lot of running backs that could go, and you've got teams that are going to be interested in those running backs. And running back by committee is a big thing, too. The Bears. The Bears seem to be really in on Ashton Jeanty. Like, if he gets the 10 and the Bears, they're taking him. They want to pair him with DeAndre Swift the same way Ben Johnson did David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. So if Ashton Jeanty gets to the Bears at 10, I am confident to say the Bears will select Ashton Jeanty. I am also confident to say he ain't getting to 10. So if they want him, they're going to have to wheel and deal a little bit because they're not getting him there. Much more on the draft coming up. Got an update coming up. I'll update you right now. Clippers beating the Nuggets. Nikola Jokic, I guess that was a three-point attempt. He did have his body behind the line, and the ball did go towards the hoop, hit the glass, and clanked down. So what we saw tonight were two teams even up the series. Pistons evening it up against New York. Clippers evening it up against the Nuggets. Also saw a thriller on the ice. Robert in Annapolis. You can talk about it because you know I ain't.
You're going to squeeze me in. I thought you were going to break. Clarification on the NFL draft order. The tiebreakers with teams with the same record only apply to the first round, after which they alternate, depending upon how many teams have the same record. So if you have two teams, you go first round, second round, you switch, so on and so forth.
Yeah, that's what we said, yeah.
Well, I didn't hear the alternation in there. But anyhow.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Marco Belletti, other than Marco Belletti's updates, I do think that the most thrilling moment of this year's playoffs, whether it be NBA or NHL, warrants mentioning, and that's a Hall of Famer scoring an overtime, which is sudden death in hockey goal. I think that warrants mentioning on the air. And the thing with the ongoing story in the NBA with the playoffs, yeah, the biggest storyline continues to be this saga of Nico Harrison. Suggestion for you, my friend. A couple months ago, you did a little country song or ditty. I can't remember what. Remember that when you sang a little tune, came on?
Yeah, I was singing.
We're all trying to forget.
No, I sang about.
All right, let me get to it because I know you got to go to a break. Look, you've said everything
good,
you can
goodbye.
Say.
Goodbye. No, it was. Goodbye, it ain't that bad, or else we'd say bad, bye.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here's my suggestion. You've already said everything. Everybody's already said. The autopsy on this trade has been overdone as it is. Why don't you put a few lyrics together, pick a favorite country, appropriate country song, or music from any song genre that you wish, and entertain us with the ballad of Nico Harrison? I think that might draw some interest. It might even get a story written about you. Who knows? And thanks
and
for taking
you
want my
it to
call.
Be, you want it to be you want it to be country? Can I mix genres?
You picked a genre. I think the last thing you did was kind of a country thing. I can't because you can kind of fake
the ballad of Nico Harrison. Song. I could be like a little Bob Dylan-y. I could be like Nico came to town from Nike Boulevard. You know.
Whatever tune you want to pick, my friend, put some lyrics together, entertain us with that, because, good Lord, that story will never die otherwise. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you seem real agitated with it. It's a huge story.
It's a nothing. It's a nothing burger.
Unless
you're a Dallas Mavericks fan. Okay, I'll say that. It's a nothing burger to everybody else in the sports world. The Dallas Mavericks, it's not the Dallas Cowboys. It's the Dallas
Robert, you're like the one person not interested in it.
What do you want to do to the guy? I mean, he made a mistake.
We want to see him get embarrassed. He made a dumb move.
You're from Milwaukee. You're from Milwaukee. What do you care?
I care because I don't like when people are stupid.
Okay, I got you. It's your show. You can do whatever you want. I just thought might want to come up with a little tune for us and put some entertainment to that subject because it's killing some of us. Thanks for taking my call.
I mean, everybody in the world is interested in the Nico Harrison drama. Robert, thank you for the call.
Yeah, it might be his worst call.
I mean, come on.
We want to see a public flogging.
Time to be done doing the thing I've done.
Oh, God. I remember this.
I ain't gonna do it anymore. It's time to be done doing the thing I love. Does Marco like this so far?
No. The answer should be no.
I was into it.
Yeah. You're lying. Stop it. I need integrity here.
Myers Leonard, he retired from the NBA and he wrote a country song to retire. So this is what I did. I also wrote one. And that's what you're hearing.
The thing I've done before,
It's time to look in the mirror
real good.
Used to could and then you would, but now you know you should. Goodbye, it ain't that bad, or else they'd say bad bye.
That's pretty catchy, right?
I gotta tell you, other than the fact that you can't sing, it's actually not bad.
I know.
It's not bad.
It's also not good.
Nobody can't sing. That's the problem. But other than that, the lyrics are not bad.
I can sing. I just lowered my standards for the sake of committee.
No, you think you can sing.
No, that was your best. It's just not good. But the lyrics itself and the effort, that was there. That's A+.
And I wrote it in like 20 minutes.
Well, let's be
fair. That's how all the great songs are written.
That's
anyway.
About 15 minutes more than most songs are written. So I think you're ahead of the curve.
Yeah, all right. Well, I've kept you too long, but I think it was worth it for that, right?
I was impressed.
Goodbye, but if it's good.
All right.
Exactly. Perfect. It would be a good song if it didn't suck. I think that's perfect. That kind
of
fits.
I wrote it without my range. I can get in a range of country. I wrote it stretching my range.
Okay.
All right. Forget it. You show a little bit of yourself. This is why people don't go outside.
Okay? Album coming never.
Let's get an update from Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. Talking about the NFL draft. We'll continue to do that throughout the night, including right now. We'll just keep doing it right now. Chris is in Jacksonville. He's talking about their pick a little bit earlier. Suddenly, Jacksonville at number 5, Chris, became like the most interesting talking point this week.
Yeah, here around town, it's interesting. The general consensus is we're going to like it. We're not going to hate it, but it's like our second choice. And then for first choice, everyone's, split. You know, some are saying take Jinty. Some are saying take Tyler Warren or T-Mac. I'm thinking trading back because, for me, defensive tackle is a little too rich in the first round. And I don't think this is a hot take at all. I think you can get a Pro Bowl caliber D tackle this year in round 2. So I'm thinking if Shador's there at 5, I'm fielding a call from New Orleans, or if Jesse's there at 5, I'm fielding a call from Chicago. Get their second round pick and their first round pick this year. That'll get the Jags 4 in the first 3 rounds, and you don't leave round 3 without 2 offensive linemen because you can't play around with turf protection anymore, especially when you put $250 million into him. His head cannot bounce off the deck like it did against Houston last year. And then you get a defensive tackle, and then with that 4th pick in the first 3 rounds, you get to take probably the best available weapon. That could be a Marion Hampton or Tyler Warren at 10, or who knows. Maybe Tennessee would be there. Crazy things have happened.
Well, if you had the card at 5, who are you taking?
Who's available? Let's say Hunter's gone, Carter's gone, and Ward's gone.
It's Jinty or T-Mac?
I'm going Jinty. Because if they take him there, they're telling us that they think he's the next Saquon. But again, then he's your best available weapon. Then you'll have, if you take Jinty now and you don't improve the offensive line, you'll have Saquon in New York and not in Philly.
You know what I would do? I would take, Chris, thanks for the call. I would take Ashton Jinty. I would take Ashton. Would I take him if I was Tennessee? No. Would I take him if I was Cleveland? No. I mean, you know what? Would I take him over Abdul Carter? I don't know.
That's the question you're asking yourself. The answer is no.
Jinty, I think, is the real deal, dude.
I agree, but you know, you got to go on the NFL hierarchy of needs or wants. You know, number 1's the quarterback, number 2 is the left tackle, number 3 is the edge rusher to get to the quarterback. That's the hierarchy of needs. Running back is lower on that list. Now, it shouldn't be completely devalued like teams have been doing the last couple of years.
Yeah, like the Giants, because the Eagles just won a Super Bowl.
Well, no, because the Giants were a dumpster fire with Saquon Barkley. I don't need your help losing. This whole thing that they let Saquon go, it's overblown.
Well, and it keeps coming up. Because Jinty is a top 10 guy, it keeps coming back to Saquon somehow. There was a report or a rumor that the Eagles wanted to trade up to try to get Abdul Carter.
No shot. There's no way in hell the league's gonna let that happen. If you're a team,
they got a ton of picks, dude.
I don't care. Let's say Cleveland does that. I will personally go to Cleveland and commit crimes.
For the haters, it's 3-3 between the Avalanche and the Stars. And I'm watching the game. Because this is when I shine as a hockey fan. After the NBA games are done, if an NHL game goes to overtime, you've got my full attention as long as there's no late West Coast baseball. 888-710-4ISN, Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.